This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I want to bring up another subject here quickly because it's something in your book. Barney and Betty Hill, perhaps the most famous abduction episode outside of Pascagoula or Travis Walton or Whitley Strieber. What are your observations?
Well, this is a well-known case. It's this case that was produced into a book and then a TV film. Was discussed extensively. Betty was actually involved in the UFO movement, and she had an interest in the UFO actually before her experience happened. This one is interesting because, you know, again, the timing and when it happens, the situation of the couple, they were a mixed couple in terms of racial background in America at that time. So that case has a lot of social underpinnings that are very important to understand what happened to them. One of the things that I like to underline in my book when I say that maybe Barney was quote-unquote hallucinating or seeing a boss in the sky, I'm not saying there was a physical boss there. It's just that something looks like a boss. So for those who read the book, I encourage them to think about another man to say that they're actually seeing something physical. But they actually had a shared telepathic experience at the time. They, in turn, interpreted as a UFO event.
Part of me has to ask, you know, where these telepathic experiences are coming from, because we're still talking about cause and effect. So is it sufficient to simply say that people's unconscious is conjuring this stuff up and then passing it along to someone else, or...
No, research on telepathy is ongoing, but I think a few things that we know is that the unconscious mind will use telepathy as an alternate channel when there's something that needs to be expressed. So it's not something that happens all the time. That's the first thing. The second thing also is that for that to happen, the two or more people involved, they have to have something in common. The most usual situation is people who like each other, a couple, you know, parents and their children. So they have this deep bond. But you may have people have a bond also based on other issue, member of community, member of a church, member of a association, and they know each other well, or people actually share the same worries about the future of their community. There has to be something that connects these people to some emotional level.
Why would that manifest in the form of an unidentified flying object, though? That's what I'm wondering. Like, you would think it would, you know, manifest in a way where, if, you know, say if their community church burned down and you have a connection between them all in that particular manner, that perhaps instead of seeing, you know, a UFO, they might see, interpret some anomalous phenomena as a visitation from an angel or something like that.
Boy, and it does happen. I mean, the explanation I give is through all forms of those shared telepathic visions. I can give you an example of during 9/11, there was in New Jersey people who actually saw the Virgin Mary in the sky. Now, after some research, you discover that what they actually meant is that they saw planes in the sky where the trail was making a cross, right, because they were going in different directions, and they saw many in the sky. So they interpreted it as an apparition of the Virgin Mary. But the point here is that, you know, that collective, that group of believers, they were Catholic in that case, they shared that one thing in common, and that vision, that what they interpret as the manifestation of the Virgin, was shared very quickly among themselves. Now, there was probably nothing anomalous in that case. It was just planes that trying desperately to find an airport to land. But it just illustrates that it doesn't have to be a UFO. It can be all kinds of things.
Interesting. Okay, so this is where I'm going to get into the conspiracy theory here with because I'm sure if I'm thinking it, there's got to be other people thinking it as well. Isn't it rather convenient from the perspective of a defense organization who doesn't want the public to know that there are actual alien craft, for someone who's a strategic analyst working in the Defense Department to simply write it all off as some sort of a mental fabrication?
Well, we have to be let's make that statement in context. If we will go back to the 1950s, 1960s, and early 1970s, especially in the United States, but Canada had the same challenge as well. People were, you know, saying that they were seeing strange things in the sky. There was, and then eventually we had a community of UFO researchers and UFO clubs and so on and so forth. And U.S. Air Force and in Canada, the Royal Canadian Air Force were receiving all kinds of reports that they couldn't care less about because they have other things to do. So the reflex to throw it into a bag and say, you know what, we're not interested in this. We did some research, and research showed nothing conclusive, but it's not dangerous, so let's move on. That was kind of the attitude. I think in the United States, the institution of the Air Force was more burnt by this because probably our neighbors in the South are more vocal about their government than us in Canada. And so they're more apprehensive. And when people start about talking about UFO, they just run away. And they don't want to be involved because they don't want to be misquoted and et cetera. But the reality is that in the defense establishment, this is a non-topic. I mean, I did research myself to see if there was anything written, even in a classified world, and there was very, very little. And the little that was there was absolutely of no interest whatsoever. So it's not part of the thinking, it's not part of the preoccupations. Now, I would say that there are some people who are probably former U.S. Government employees, probably in some intelligence agency, who enjoyed kind of keeping the flame alive about the conspiracy of UFO, because it's good for them, because they have fun, because it helps them publish books or so on and so forth. But the reality is that, you know, this is a topic that is of little interest from the institution of government. And there are some individuals who are personally interested in this, yes, indeed, but that doesn't mean the institution is actually interested.
Well, how do we know that? I mean, if it's secret, we're not going to know. Right.
Well, yes, but for people inside, I can talk for me, but this is a non-topic. There's no interest in that. This is never discussed because there's no one interested. And if you approach the topic, people laugh, and you know, some people will be say, "Hey, yes, I saw something strange," but you know what? It's just something strange in the sky, and that's it, and the story. It's not what you used to be where, you know, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s where, you know, they didn't know what it was. They were kind of a bit worried about it. That's all gone. And if you take a look at other countries, like France, for instance, the government, the military, and civilian organization are working together openly to see if there's something there with the premise that, you know, there might be nothing there, but, you know, people are interested, so we'll put some data as available. And they have been very, very good collaborations. Sweden as well, they had the same kind of cooperation. And they haven't found anything really out of the extraordinary so far.
Speaking of recent stuff also, this so-called Pentagon UFO study that came to light and became attached to the Stars Academy for Arts and Sciences, headed up by a rock star. Do you have a perception of that and whether that has had any value to researching UFOs, or is it just a sideshow or nothing, a flash in the pan. We'll have that question answered if there is an answer, and maybe there's not. Okay, with Eric Ouellette and Gene Steinberg and the one and only J. Randall Murphy. There can be no substitutes. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protective building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com, or call our order line 888-212-8871.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise at GCNlive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
See, I compliment people sometimes.
That's because you're very complimentary.
I sure am. I resemble that remark. Eric, what's your response?
Well, I think there was somebody there with good intentions, try to see, you know, what do we know about this, and then get some people, you know, younger people interested in the topic to, you know, make the curriculum more interesting. I think there's nothing more than that.
Okay. I think it's kind of a flash in the pan myself. We're not hearing too much about it now at all. So there was the flurry. At least we got the Washington Post and the New York Times publishing supposedly positive information, but they're still looking at UFOs like so many people in the framework of it's ET is here. And Eric, what do we do about that? If the majority, vast majority of those interested in the subject are looking for ET, the media is looking for ET. How do we change any of that? Is it possible?
No, the media is just one thing that one of the fundamental dynamics of the mass media, and the one that makes money, they cater to what people want to hear and what they want to read about. So if the majority of the population has a ETH interest, then they will report that way. So they're always, actually, I would say they're behind the curve. Sometimes they will break a story that will change perception, but most of the time they are behind the curve because they're there to, you know, make sure that people, you know, read the newspaper, watch their newscast so they can, you know, generate revenues. It's a very simple answer to this issue, but they tend to be conservative in that way, in the sense that they will produce what people want to hear. And I think in the United States, some news media and news organization are aligned with certain political parties and others are with other parties. I think that's not a big secret. And so they cater news to what people want to hear and on topic that people are interested in.
Well, the other thing is, of course, remember the news, especially in the U.S., is a profit-making enterprise. It's about ratings. If Fox News tomorrow, I believe, found they could make more money from becoming liberal, get a bigger audience, don't you think they'd change?
Yes, the problem is that they have competition, so they would have to compete with the New York Times and other news outlets. But I cannot see Fox News to really make a big story about some liberal program that works very well and we should celebrate it, that their viewership are not interested in that, so they won't do that. But yeah, I mean, theoretically, if the mood change and let's say the United States become the ranks of the conservative would be shrinking, then Fox News would move on for sure.
If we could return for a moment to the level of cooperation that you're saying that the government is giving to UFO researchers, I'd like to know specifically what that means, because if we really want to know what's going on, civilian researchers, I find it difficult to believe, are going to have access to what they have access to. We're talking about ultra secret defense facilities that they don't want anybody outside the Defense Department to know how it works, let alone monitor. They can track things in space, you know, down to floating nuts and bolts. They've got satellites out past the moon. We don't have people in positions who can monitor what's going on with those. We just simply have to take their word for it. So I'm not really sure that I'm ready to accept that they're telling us everything.
Well, the problem is that if they use a sophisticated system to a radar or other sensing system, they don't want to reveal these systems because, you know, the other side, you know, whether it's Russia or China or any other potential adversary, we don't want to give them information. So by accident. So that's the first thing to keep in mind is things are kept secret, not because there is a big, big conspiracy behind, but simply because, you know, these things are to gather intelligence on other humans, and they don't want our adversary know about that. So that's the first thing. And two, well, yes, there's people inside, of course, they can't talk. But, you know, in this age of whistleblowers, I mean, who brought data, like tons of data, if you think about some website that has been famous lately about that, I mean, if there would be something about UFOs, I would think that the beans would have been spilled out pretty long time ago, and yet nothing.
Well, that's not true. It has been spilled. We've got Freedom of Information Act documents that clearly say that pilots have chased these objects and they've been tracked on radar so many times now that it's taken for granted. Even the original projects from back in the 60s were classified as secret. They studied them for 20 years. You have Ruppelt himself come out and say that their own scientists back in the day determined that what we're dealing with is something alien. They figured at that time probably interplanetary. And that particular document, known as the Estimate of the Situation, was ordered destroyed. But he saw it himself. We've had people come out and say, look, what's going on behind the scenes is far from the way you're describing it, Eric.
Well, I'm sorry, but the governments, the various governments, whether it's Canada or the United States, they classify data. So yeah, sometimes under pressure, sometimes more willingly. It depends on the case and the time frame we're talking about. But if there was documents proving that the government has extensive knowledge about an alien civilization visiting this planet, they would be out. And definitely we don't have that. We have stories of jet fighters chasing stuff. Yes, we have stories of military personnel that interpreted their experience as maybe aliens, but again, that's their personal interpretation. There would be an institutional collective decision that continued throughout time that there would be extensive knowledge about an alien civilization. There's absolutely nothing about this. And I would think that this data would be out and in a very strong, well-documented way. That would come out one way or another. And yet we have nothing of that nature. So that's what I mean by the spilling the beans in the real issue.
I think that's maybe moving the goalposts a bit, though. I mean, there's a complete difference between saying, well, evidence of an alien civilization and evidence of alien craft in our atmosphere. We have documentation from officials who say that they're not fictitious or visionary, that they appear to be metallic, that they've been tracked on radar and chased by airplanes, that many people have seen them, not only in the military, but in civilian life. It just seems unbelievable that a person would just say, well, none of that really means anything. It's all a figment of some sort of imaginary effect caused by some unexplained psychological phenomena.
Well, again, the fact that there are strange things in the sky doesn't make them aliens, because if we go back to what we said earlier, this is a materialistic explanation. So, again, without the materialistic proof.
More to come with Eric, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Californians are scrambling for help with deadly wildfires that are burning in the state. Some of the evacuation centers have run out of room.
Ventura County Supervisor Peter Foy.
Any of the public that can help your neighbors, please do that. This is a difficult time for all of us. And as we, a lot of these closures are going to continue as the winds are going to come back up in the next few days. It's very, very important that we continue to keep this community strong and together.
The Camp Wildfire in Paradise has killed at least 10 people. 4 of them were burned in their cars as they tried to escape. Only 3 roads lead to the mountainous town that is surrounded by steep canyons. The main road is the Skyway that runs along the spine of a steep ridge for many miles. There was no way for the people to escape, and many people are still looking for missing loved ones. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and 3-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the 5 little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene Randall and Eric, we continue our discussion looking at the alternatives to ETH. Eric, you started a discussion in our previous segment, and as usual, the clock said, you got to stop for a second. Can we pick up on that?
Yes. So what I was saying is that the fact that the military personnel have witnessed strange things in the sky, but yet we never put our hands on those things, and then we don't have the proof that it's alien in nature. We can speculate, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But moving from a speculation to a proof, there's a big step here that we haven't crossed, as far as I know. So that's the first thing. But two, we have to remember that the military reporting system for those things, so what is reported, how it is investigated, doesn't lead to looking into the more parapsychological aspects of it. So there might be things, but just they're not investigated. So how we would know? And there are a few situations I'm aware that the questions was raised by the investigator, but it remained as such. So we can give a specific example: the Rendlesham UFO incidents. One of the things that was I found personally fascinating is that the people. Some people said they heard animals in a farm, the screaming, but that farm was abandoned. There was no animals there for a long, long time, for many years before the incident. So that's always the question, is that Is there here something, some of a collective telepathy, but of audio aspects to it? And so that's an interesting aspect of that case. That is, if you look at it from a strictly military perspective, oh, probably the wind, they heard noise, who cares? And they move on. They're looking for something physical. And so you ask, you don't ask the right questions to find if there is something parapsychological involved.
That's the big thing here. What questions to ask, and that's what we were talking about earlier in the episode, the fact that UFO research organizations that are busy collecting data, and they're sincere, I suppose, if they're not trying to evangelize the ETH, but they're not asking the right questions, where do we go? But then again, do we even know what questions, the proper questions to ask at this point?
This is the issue, because every question we ask has always some implicit premises, because we're looking for something, and so that's something we have to be clear in our mind. I always use that joke: is it important to know what people ate before they had a UFO experience? Because if they ate pizza, well, guess what? It's in the shape of a flying saucer if you look at the plate where it's grilled. This is a silly question, of course, but the point I'm trying to make is that if we say, okay, this is irrelevant, then we already decided that the food you ingest and your experience are irrelevant. Like, there's no causal relationship. That's fine, but then if you say that certain things have a relationship, then you have to prove that indeed they are related to each other. So the question you ask, you have to be clear in what are the premises behind. So, and most of the questions by UFO organization, they start with the premise that something physical. They're looking for something physical, a craft. So all their questions are usually, most of their questions are built around that. And then the other set of questions to see if the witness is credible, if there are reasons to lie, but never or very rarely try to understand the witness from his or her perspective and what's happening in the life of that person, because there might be other elements, aspects to the experience that are actually provide far more material to explain what's going on.
There's been a theory, a grand theory, that combines a lot of paranormal phenomena. So we have UFOs, we have ghost sightings, we have Bigfoot, we have the resemblance that some people have drawn between UFO abductions and near-death experiences. Can we have an all-encompassing theory about everything? Or are UFOs, even if they're collective unconscious, parapsychological, still a separate issue?
Well, I think there is one thing, one thread that could connect these things. Because in the end, any extraordinary experience we have, do those experiences, whether it's a UFO, a ghost encounter, you name it, do those experiences actually carry information that are actually of that goes beyond what's going on in one person's head? That information is actually useful for the witnesses because they have produced it through parapsychological means. Then you can connect a lot of things. I'll give you a very simple example. It happened to me not long ago. I was home, heard a big bang, boom. So I ran throughout the house. I was worried there was maybe somebody getting in my house, only to discover that it was a bunch of long play that fell. They fell off. Is it a psychokinetic event? Maybe, maybe not. It's just maybe they fell because, you know, they were ready to sleep at that time. But one of the things I noticed is that when it happened, I was preoccupied with an issue and I was running it to my head for quite some time. And then I realized that the long play falling off, it sounds like as if my unconscious was telling me, hey, Eric, you sound like a broken record. Maybe there was some psychokinesis involved. But the point here is that there's information that was generated by that event that, Eric, you know, change your story, you know, think about other things, move on. And that could be, make it simple things like that of a parapsychological nature, two things far more complex, like UFO encounters or ghost encounters, where information is like generated, but oftentimes that information is very symbolic in nature, and only the experiencer actually can make sense of it.
There we go with that. That sounds very interesting. Interesting to look at the possibilities. and all that. Other than that, have you had any other experiences that you would think could have a paranormal explanation?
Indeed. I was a number of years ago now investigating a haunting in near Toronto. And it was in November, and in Toronto in November is not very warm. And we were waiting outside for the, it was a old courthouse that was converted into a museum. A theater. And we were waiting outside for the caretaker to open the door. And so I was at the door, and I clearly heard steps coming towards me from inside the building. So I turn around to the friends I was with and say, hey, the caretaker is coming. Get ready to move in. And they started to laugh at me. So I kind of ignored that. And then again, clearly heard steps. And then I repeated, you know, come on, be ready. He's coming. And then, ha, 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 Eric, he's coming in his car. He's not in the building right now. And indeed, he came about 5 minutes later and opened the door, but from outside. So I would say that probably if there was a recording machine, nothing would be recorded. So, however, after the investigation, I talked to the caretaker, and he told me that the people who claimed to see the ghost, they were seeing a person walking in that hallway that leads to the door back and forth. And the story is that he was waiting for his sentence of his son to come from the jury at the time. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that before going. I had no idea what was going on, what was the haunting story. I was a blank slate when I arrived there. So it's interesting that information somehow was communicated to me through normal means in advance before hearing the story of the ghost. So for me, my personal interpretation is that maybe haunting is more something akin to telepathy, but across time. Because one of the things parapsychology is studying is that time seems to be far more flexible than we think.
We have Eric Ouellette, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. Time. What about a multiverse? More to come. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale priced for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, if time is flexible, Eric, what about missing time? Is that some anomaly, or was somebody simply knocked out for the hour and a half that disappeared?
Well, I think most situations just people were in an altered state of consciousness. So they could have been half awake, in a trance, or just sleeping and unconscious. But, and sometimes people are in altered state of consciousness and they're unconscious, just kind of taking the front seat, and they are doing things that they don't remember. So it's like a sleepwalkers, for instance.
What I worry about here are situations where somebody is driving along the road and they suffer missing time, or maybe they've traveled a number of miles and weren't aware of it. Were they sleepwalking behind the wheel? Is that what happened?
Well, anyone who drove at night will probably realize that they aren't conscious. That actually takes over the driving. And then, you're lost in your thought, you're listening to music. And the first thing you realize, you're like 20, 30, 40, 50 miles further away that you were before. And you don't need to be in a deep unconscious state, altered state of consciousness. It happens all the time. It's a perfectly normal thing.
Sure, but I think something like highway hypnosis is completely different than something happening to a person unexpectedly when they're not in that type of a situation.
No, but there's degrees of our altered state of consciousness. So highway hypnosis is a light form. People who practice magic, for instance, they put themselves in a very deep state of altered consciousness through trance and all kinds of rituals to help them to reach that level. And they do see things that are quite extraordinary. They have visions. They hear things. Sometimes there is even psychokinetic effects, on some occasions. So there's degrees in that. So we have to be very careful here.
Sure. Again, then we have someone who's intentionally focusing their thoughts on some particular aspect that has to do with elevating their consciousness or something along those lines. For example, in the case that I experienced back in the 70s, there was just the three of us hanging out on a couch and looking out a window. We weren't intently concentrating or trying to conjure up or anything. We weren't in some altered state of consciousness. And all three of us saw it at the same time and saw the same thing. I'm not really sure that that's reasonably explainable by some sort of subconscious or unconscious manifestation that's projected out into the real world. It's just, I really have a tough time with that.
Well, again, I don't know the details of your story, and you lived it. I did not, so I cannot make any comments. What I would say, however, is that our unconscious mind works on its own time, and it can be can play tricks on us for our own good. Usually, it tries to send a message. And, I mean, slip of the tongue, for instance, is a classic one. It's an unconscious message that while we're consciously speaking and then something slips, that means something else that we consciously mean, but unconsciously we may mean that other thing. You don't have to be in a deep unconscious state for that to happen. So we have to be careful. Sometimes the unconscious takes over and we're not even aware. And that's why the word is used. It's unconscious. We're not conscious of what's going on in that part of our mind. Again, I cannot speak to your own personal experience because I don't know it, and it's yours, it's not mine. We should not underestimate the power of our unconscious mind. We can take all kinds of decisions that we think are conscious, but actually that's our unconscious mind that takes it. You know, if you walk somewhere, are you going on the right side or the left side first? These are unconscious decision makings.
Well, maybe we ought not to overestimate it as well. My case isn't unique. This is one case where there are multiple witnesses. I'm sure you've probably talked to UFO witnesses. One that I interviewed, for example, saw something that he described as your classic saucer-shaped object hovering over a field off on the side of a fairly busy road. He pulled over, and with a matter of a few minutes, a number of other people also just pulled over, and they all saw it as well. Now, how do you really explain that reasonably as a whole bunch of people pulling over and just having a shared unconscious hallucination? Or is it more reasonable to say, well, there's something out there and people are looking at it. It just actually is there.
Yeah, and it could be both, actually. It could be something else that was perceived as through a shared hallucination. We should not ignore the mixed explanation again. It's hard to say each case is unique, but definitely there are cases where there was nothing physical. There were cameras there pointing in a direction, and there was nothing recorded, and yet multiple witnesses claim to seeing the same thing. So we have also those cases, and they should fully be in part of any investigations of UFOs. It's not because there's nothing physical that that should be rejected, far from it.
That's an interesting point. You know, I've heard of those cases. I haven't looked into them in detail, but if we're dealing with some sort of an anomaly or some sort of highly advanced technology, I mean, what is preventing them from interfering with cameras?
Yeah, or maybe interfering with our mind. I mean, that's the other way to look at it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can give you a very specific example. There was again, in Hamilton, in Canada, there was a busy intersection, and there was two cars. People don't know each other, and there was three witnesses, I think, and four in the other car, if I remember correctly. And they were looking in the same direction and waiting for the light to change. And they saw something really, really strange, some sort of craft. And yet there was a lot of cars there. So other people would have seen it. That would have been reported, you know, because it was a very busy intersection. And yet only the two people those two cars saw it. So I'm pretty sure if there was, in that case, a camera, there would be nothing. And yet the fact that two groups of people who don't know each other were separated by the glass of their respective cars, had a similar observation. That makes it an interesting case from a parapsychological perspective.
Of course, and maybe other people did see it, but they just didn't report it. That type of thing is really well known when we get to take polls of the number of people who've seen a UFO and the number of people that have actually reported it.
Maybe, but in that case, what the witnesses reported, it was very weird, very ostentatious, and it was perceived at not very far distance. I mean, it would have been seen by other people, a lot of other people, because it was a busy intersection.
Well, maybe it was. I mean, we can't assume that just because they didn't report it, that they didn't see it. Like Friedman is famous for this. He'll ask an audience how many people have seen a UFO, and a lot of hands will go up. They'll say, well, how many have reported it? And most of them go down. So if you look at it statistically, if there was 10 cars at the intersection, two people reported it. Well, statistically, that means probably most of the rest of the people saw it. They just didn't say anything, nothing was there, or that they didn't see it and were looking in the same place.
Of course, we basically couldn't assume the reverse either. We're just guessing. We assume that more people saw it. In that case, if it's as Stan says and most people don't report it, it's been a great episode. Thank you, Eric. Tell our listeners, please, where we can find more of the stuff that you do.
My blog is still open up, but I haven't contributed lately to it. But there's still a lot of material, a lot of many, many posts, references that people can use. It's called Parasociology. If you type para and sociology in one word, you'll find my blog easily there. So that's available. There's my book, of course, you mentioned, Illuminations, published by Animalist Press, available through most of the online booksellers, so Amazon and the like. I'm working on other things right now, but it's still in the early phase. So it will take a little while before I publish new books.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. Look for the Paracast Plus, the number one way to support this show. To learn more, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We offer a version of the show free of the network ads with better quality audio, the After the Paracast podcast, and we'll work on other stuff too. We also have a YouTube channel. If you want to check us out, just look for the Paracast. And Paracast Plus, again, is plus.theparacast.com. Eric Wellett, thank you for joining us again on the Paracast.
It was my pleasure. Thank you. And hopefully we'll meet again.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.